Hey, welcome to the Progressive Era podcast over the Progressive Era Study Guide. We'll go ahead and get started with the Gilded Age PowerPoint. The Gilded Age was a term that was created by Mark Twain, in which he said that the society in the United States in the late 1800s looked good on the outside, but was truly corrupt on the inside. Political machines were local political organizations that were created to try to get their people elected into office so that once they got their people elected into office, they could get jobs, favors, government contracts, and basically profit off the fact that they had friends in high places. Really how they did it, they would bribe voters, they would bribe vote counters, they would, have a ballot system where only one name was on the ballot so they could tell who was voting for their candidate and who wasn't. Things like that. Tammany Hall was the most famous political machine. It was located in New York City. Its boss was a man by the name of William Marcy Tweed. Again, political bosses were just the people who ran the political machine. They were the ones that, they didn't run for office themselves, but usually they profited off the fact that they got other people elected into office. Civil service jobs are government jobs. Spoil system was a system of giving government jobs in which people got jobs they didn't deserve, and it ended up with bad, inefficient government because, the people who were getting the government jobs were really friends of the political machine instead of actual qualified individuals. Merit system was the system, progressive response to the spoil system, in which they pushed for a system in which people had to take exams to prove that they were qualified for the job. It was created through the Pendleton Civil Service Act after the assassination of James Garfield by a guy who didn't get a government job he thought he deserved. Immigration and Industrial Revolution contributed to the need for reform because of just people moving to the cities and overcrowded cities and all the problems that came along with that, like pollution and corruption and crime and things like that. Progressive era, progressives were people who wanted to fix the problems that were created by industrialization and urbanization, and they wanted to, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to solve the problems that really the IR had kind of caused in America. Things they focused on, problems they focused on, crime, they focused on trying to, break up big business, they focused on corruption in government, health issues, sanitation issues, child labor, things like that. And they really, the big thing was that they wanted the government to step in and, move away from that laissez-faire attitude and start to really, be active in creating laws and regulations. Muckrakers were journalists who wrote stories that exposed the problems that allowed progressives to know what was going on. Lincoln Steffens wrote a book called The Shame of the Cities about corruption in city government. Ida Tarbell wrote about Standard Oil and, the practices of John D. Rockefeller. Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle about the meat packaging industry and all the kind of the unsanitary, unhealthy things that were going on there. Things that progressives did to limit the power of political machines, they created a secret ballot system where, no longer could you see how people voted. Also tried to give citizens more power individually with elections and, just tried to really work, really that secret ballot system was a big way to try to limit, the power of the political machines in terms of bribing people. A direct primary is where, instead of political parties getting to select their candidates, just by the leadership picking who they want to run in the general election, it's elections in which the citizens of that party get to vote for the nominee that runs in the general election. An example I would give you is, if, in 2020 election, Republicans, are going to choose between the different candidates that are, up for office, and, the idea is that, there might be many different Republicans and many different Democrats that want to run for office, but you got to narrow it down to one. And so the way that they do that is through the primary system where each state holds elections where they, get to vote on who they want those candidates to be for their respective parties. Again, it helped stop corruption because it gave the citizens a say in who the sen it gave citizens a say on who the candidates were in the general election instead of party leaders. 17th Amendment was a direct election of senators. It changed before that. State legislatures were the ones who picked the senators, and again, it gave citizens more of a say. Recall is when a citizen can remove someone from office before their term is up. Initiative is where a citizen can petition to get a law put up the ballot on the ballot to vote on. And referendum is where the state legislature can put a measure on the ballot for the citizens to approve or disapprove. New York State Tenement House Building Codes, city planners mapped out cities and sanitation systems to make things healthier. Life expectancy went up. And in terms of the education system, they created, required public education, required public schooling, kindergartens, and they also tried to pass laws about child labor. Political cartoonists, textbook-wise, political cartoonists helped in the Gilded Age. Thomas Nast was the most famous one. He drew pictures that about Tammany Hall and Boss Tweed that really helped people realize just how corrupt it was. The cartoon really shows that they're powerful and they were probably upset and wanted corruption to stop. Spoils system led to Garfield's assassination because Charles Guiteau, the guy who assassinated Garfield, was upset that he didn't get a government job that he had been promised. The gold standard is when government used gold as the basis for American currency. They backed American currency and they printed money with gold. The debate over tariffs during this time period, Republicans wanted higher tariffs to allow American industries and jobs to grow. Democrats felt high tariffs caused higher cost of goods for consumers and made it harder for American farmers to sell their goods abroad. Conflict over monetary policies. Bankers felt that adding silver would undermine the economy. Farmers favored coining silver to kind of hopefully create inflation and raise prices. 7.3, problems farmers faced. They had low prices for crops, high cost of transportation. They really, big business-wise, felt the railroad had monopolies and they were charging high prices and the banks were getting high interest rates on loans. Grange movement was an organized movement by farmers with the goal of improving education for farming techniques and the regulation of railroad and grain elevators. Demands of the Populist Party, they wanted a coinage of silver. They wanted government ownership of the railroads. They even, believed in women's suffrage. They ended up winning 3 governors, 5 senators, and 10 congressmen in the 1892 election, and even expanded that in state elections in 1894. Populist Party candidate in 1896 was William Jennings Bryan, and in 1900, he ran for the Democrats, even though he was, he believed in populist ideals. He lost McKinley, and the party disappeared by the early 1900s. Reforms that still became a rally, even though the party disappeared. Graduated income tax, the regulation of railroads, and a more flexible monetary system. 8.1, the social gospel was believed by Baptist minister Walter Rauschenbusch that Christianity should be the basis of social reform. He called for social gospel and a combination of ideas of German socialism and American progressivism. And he just basically felt like by following the Bible's teachings on charity and justice, it could improve society. Progressives protected children. They had a law to ban child labor, requirements to end school until to attend school until a certain age. The Keating-Owen Act was a law that tried to ban child labor, but was declared unconstitutional by Congress. In terms of worker safety, New York passed laws that made the workplace safer. They passed workers' compensation laws. They passed laws limiting work hours, but that was ruled unconstitutional in Lochner versus New York. Workers' compensation laws are just laws that meant workers would get paid and get care if they had a work-related injury. It's important because the work was dangerous at the time and workers needed protection. Women's suffrage-wise, women were attending more college in the late 1800s, but they really were struggling to get into male-dominated fields like law, like medical fields, and so they were really taking jobs, as teachers, as nurses, as things like that. Women's social clubs were groups in, like, a lot of cities that emerged of kind of middle class, well educated women and upper class women that wanted to form, they wanted to form these clubs that would help their local areas. They wanted to raise money. They wanted to, have guest speakers come in and talk and just provide education and things like that. The temperance movement was a movement to try to get alcohol removed from society. A lot of women were kind of the backbone of that in the social clubs. And that fight was renewed really in like the 1870s. The WCTU was the Women's Christian Temperance Union. Frances Willard was the leader. The 18th Amendment ban was the amendment that actually banned alcohol. It was passed in 1819. Suffrage is the right to vote. Women's suffrage is the fight for women to get the right to vote. Some people felt like women's suffrage was bad because they felt like, women, would only vote how their husbands voted. They felt like, women couldn't handle the aspects of voting. They felt like the social clubs were doing enough work. They didn't actually need the right to vote. The National Woman's Party, the NWP, differed from the National Association of Women's Suffrage in the idea that the NWP was much more aggressive in using civil disobedience to try to get, their views and get their cause in the news. Wyoming and the West Coast was the first area to give women the right to vote. The 19th Amendment eventually gave it across the country. It was passed in 1920. Booker T. Washington was a civil rights leader. He grew up in the South as a slave. He started the Tuskegee Institute, which provided job education, teacher training to African Americans. To really, the idea was to try to give them more of an economic stability. Washington's views of race relations, he felt like African Americans shouldn't concern themselves as much with the fight against discrimination and segregation, that they should concentrate more on the economic well-being, and that, they didn't, discrimination was something that wasn't going to go away, but economic success would help African Americans more. W.E.B. Du Bois had a countering view. He was a civil rights leader. He was born in the North. He graduated from Harvard. He felt like African Americans should never compromise in their fight against discrimination and segregation. Ida B. Wells was an African American female muckraker who wrote about lynchings in the South. Niagara Movement was a group of African Americans that met to try to come up with some solutions to discrimination. They ended up forming the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. With one of the big things that the NAACP did throughout the 1900s was use the court system to try to get laws that were discriminatory and push for segregation declared unconstitutional. 7.1, Chinese immigrants faced discrimination. They were banned from employment in some cities. They had segregated schools. There was the Chinese Exclusion Act, which we talked about. Supreme Court responded in Yuk Woe versus Hopkins. They sided with Chinese immigrants who weren't allowed to operate a laundry. Other cases said that they couldn't be stripped of citizenship, but still upheld the actual excluding of new immigrants coming to the country from China. Mexican Americans struggled in the West. Many lost their lands in the Mexican-American War. The land was taken if they couldn't provide prove that they had ownership. And they weren't citizens in territories like New Mexico, so they couldn't advocate in Washington for their cause. 8.2, hardships. Women had long hours, dangerous conditions. They were expected to hand over wages to their husbands, fathers, and brothers. Oftentimes, they were cheated and bullied in their jobs with no influence because they didn't have voting rights. Mueller versus Oregon court ruled that laws limiting workday hours for women were indeed constitutional. So they could have laws that, said women can only work a certain number of hours. Florence Kelly believed that women were hurt by unfair prices of goods they had to buy to run their homes. She founded the National Consumer League. The National Consumer League was a group organized to investigate conditions under which goods were made and sold and to promote safe working conditions and a minimum wage. Margaret Sanger opened the first country's first birth control clinic. She was thrown in jail several times. How did NW and AWSA leader Carrie Chapman Catt's winning plan. What was her society plan? The winning plan called for action on two fronts, really lobbying Congress for constitutional amendment at a national level and trying to get referendums on the ballots at individual state levels, giving women the right to vote, for example, Wyoming. The society plan was to recruit wealthy, well-educated women to be for their cause. Methods that Alice Paul used, they marched outside the White House, they got arrested, they went on hunger strikes. In Nancy Cott's opinion, both groups, both Alice Paul's group and Carrie Chapman Catt's group, contributed to the passage of the 19th Amendment in their own ways. Teddy Roosevelt, before he became president, was in the Spanish-American War with the Rough Rider Regiment. He also was governor of New York. In 1900, he took the position of vice president. He became president in 1901 when McKinley was shot. His square deal was his plan for the government to treat everyone fairly. Trust-wise, remember, trust is an organization, like when groups of businesses work together under a board of directors to eliminate competition. So they're not running each other out of business. They're actually just working together, agreeing to certain prices, agreeing to certain wages that they charge. So they're not actually competing with each other. Roosevelt liked their good trust that treated people well, charged fair prices, and had a good product. But he felt like they were bad trust that simply took over the fact that they had no competition and charged high prices that they shouldn't have. With bad trust, he wanted to take them to court using the Sherman Antitrust Act to, antitrust cases to get those major companies broken up. One of the trusts he went after was Northern Securities, which was owned by J.P. Morgan. He again used the Sherman Antitrust Act to eventually get Northern Securities broken up by the Supreme Court. Laws passed in terms of food and drug safety. They passed the Pure Food and Drug Act, the Meat Inspection Act, helped with labeling of food and, contamination. Also helped with, making sure the food that was being made was safe. Conservation, Roosevelt believed in conservation, which was, saving the environment, protecting the environment. He doubled the number of national parks as president. Taft, before he became president, was a judge. Roosevelt helped Taft get elected by endorsing him and saying that he was the best candidate to succeed him as a Republican in the 1908 election. In terms of what Taft did to address trust, is he brought more antitrust cases, 90 to be exact, which was double the number of Roosevelt, who had the reputation of as a trust buster. In terms of tariffs, progressives really wanted lower tariffs. Taft's own party, the Republican Party, wanted high tariffs. And what Taft ended up doing was he lowered some tariffs, but also raised others, which neither side was really happy with that. In 1912, Taft wants to run again. However, Roosevelt is coming around and saying he'd like to run again. So the Republicans have to choose between their current president, who is Taft, and a former president in Roosevelt, who both want to be nominated by the Republicans. The Republicans end up going with Taft, even though Roosevelt won or was very popular and showed that he was more popular in states that did have primaries. Roosevelt ends up starting his own party called the Progressive Party, which was nicknamed the Bull Moose Party, and decides to run as a third candidate. Woodrow Wilson is a Democratic candidate. He was president of Princeton University, and he was also governor of New Jersey at one point before he became president. And what ends up happening in the 1912 election is that Wilson, the Democrat, ends up winning. He's the first Democrat to win in like 20 years. And a lot of people attribute it to the fact that Roosevelt and Taft ended up splitting the Republican votes, and that really hurt each of their cases. 16th Amendment was the income tax. Wilson needed it because they had lower tariffs, and so they had less revenue coming in from taxes on foreign goods. So to make up for that, they passed the 16th Amendment, which created national income tax. Federal Reserve Act created a national bank that oversaw money supply and interest rates, still around today. And the Federal Trade Commission was established to regulate businesses, and especially like claims made by businesses, advertising by businesses, to make sure that the businesses were acting in a fair and just manner. In terms of the test itself, the constructive response question, there's only one, is what were the social and political reforms of the progressive era, were the social and political reforms of the progressive era more of a success or a failure? What were the positives? What were the negatives? Provide examples from the time period to support your argument. And here's the deal, guys. There isn't really a right or wrong answer. You can say it wasn't a success, that it was a failure. You can say it was a success. You just need to justify your answer with actual evidence. So if you say it's a success, you need to talk about what things progressives did that, you know, were lasting legacies, that helped society, that made things better. You said it was a failure. You can talk about, obviously, the same things, like things that didn't really work from the progressive era. So just make sure you have, you know, some actual, like, things that you're going to cite and talk about. You don't have to get specific as in, like, actual court cases or something, you know, but you need to generally know the types of things the progressives were doing and, you know, whether those were successes or failures in your mind. Okay. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask, and good luck.